Blog Talk Radio.
Mr. Tambourine Man for a second.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome to the Martial Arts Talk Radio program. I'm your host, Danny Venna. I'm broadcasting live from Wake Forest, North Carolina. Our guest tonight can call in at 929-477-3210. Again, let me give you that number. Our guest can call in tonight at 929-477-3210. Tonight's program is going to be about our martial arts pioneers all throughout the United States, and that looking at some of the history of our seniors.
996 5446. Call in and speak live.
And that is our announcement. Yes. What I'm looking to do is go through some of the different styles, take a look at. What's evolved out of all of those styles, and that is, starting with jiu-jitsu, judo, kung fu, aikido, kempo, muay thai, Brazilian jiu-jitsu, karate, all different types of, martial arts that come from China, the birthplace of karate, the island of Okinawa. Looking at some of the, the pioneers, the people that brought the martial arts here to the United States, and then of course looking at what has evolved from that. Now it's impossible to cover it all, but we can certainly touch on some of the roots and give a perspective on all of the different types of martial arts that exist today, and where they come from. So, starting with different types of martial arts, whether it be from China, India, Africa, the roots of martial arts, all seem to have this common denominator, and that is using the circle, straight lines, and variations of those straight lines. Now, looking at some of the notables, some of the notable senseis, some of the early masters, going all the way back to the early days. We're not going to go that far back because we don't have that much time. We only have 30 minutes tonight, but as for the Okinawan styles, is somewhere where I would like to start, because that basically picks us up into the modern day of martial arts and, what it is today. So looking at some of the senseis, like Miyagi-sensei, we have Yamaguchi sensei. We have, looking at some of the founders of those styles and those, major contributors to, as I said, what has evolved to martial arts in what we practice, present day. So, looking at some of those influential masters, Kian Sensei obviously has a place in history. Motobu Sensei has a place in history. Chibana Sensei, as well as Anko Sensei. So these are major contributors to styles that formed the original platform and architecture for, again, what is evolved into present-day martial arts. Now, we in the Ishinru family have a, you know, a modern day founder, and that is in Shimabukuro Sensei, because his style was born in the 50s. So, looking at, you know, from the time that he created his art to present day, a lot of martial arts have been spawned off of these original platforms. Now, looking at some of the work that these masters did, both with empty hand training as well as kabuto training, this is what now, you know, when you go to competition and you see them doing the weapons katas and you see them doing the empty hand katas, these are the remnants and the style architecture coming from some of the masters that we just mentioned. So looking at now some of the American notables, you know, that helped bring popularity to, you know, something that really wasn't known here in the States back then. You know, in 1946, Robert Trias, who happened to be a Navy veteran from Phoenix, Arizona, is one of the you know, the early pioneers. You know, Mr. Ed Parker, you know, also an early pioneer. Looking at what they did, because now these are big names. You know, Trias Sensei and Parker Sensei are big names. These people did, you know, big events. They invited, you know, a lot of people to, again, gain popularity to something that was not popular. Looking at a promoter like Aaron Banks, he also now on the East Coast helped, you know, promote martial arts and all different types of martial arts, whether it be from China, from Japan, all over the world. So some more of the notables, Jun Ri, S. Henry Cho, Masayama, names like Alan Steen. Looking at those names now and looking at what they did, that of course now, you know, put martial arts sort of around the country, okay? So now that martial arts is starting to spread, people like Alan Steen, Steve Armstrong, Harold Long, Osensei Peter Urban, you know, of course, Master Parker, Master Matson, of course, Sensei Nagel from the Ishinru system, Mike Stone, Pat Burleson, Chuck Norris, Joe Lewis. Now karate is starting to gain some, you know, or I should say martial arts is starting to gain some speed and some steam now here in the United States. Motion pictures and things of that nature are starting to get children involved, because once children see, you know, something like that, they, you know, they want to learn it. So it really starts to gain popularity. Masters like Richard Kim, you know, he did things for martial arts in all different aspects, from the schools to, you know, the you know, the populace. I mean, he really worked extremely hard in promoting good martial arts sciences. Okay, so now as we come through the 50s and 60s, and we see the popularity gaining strength with people like Bruce Lee on the screen in the 70s, the popularity grew, and the familiarity grew with, you know, masters like Aaron Banks, you know, like I said, he was a wonderful promoter of martial arts. After his teachings, people like Sifu Allen Goldberg, who, you know, again, brings thousands and thousands of martial artists together every single year. So now, as you can see, from that era of the 50s, 60s, and 70s, like I say, you know, promoters like Sifu Allen Goldberg, who bring, you know, like I say, thousands and thousands of martial artists together every year, obviously you can see that the pattern of that has gained, you know, tremendous popularity, all right? On our program, Modern Combat Masters, just the other night, when we were talking about the Gracie family, and, you know, we asked the question about the Gracie family, and he said, wait a minute, it's not really a family. And we said, what? And it's really an army. I mean, they have, you know, the Gracies in the Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu have really gained popularity. Over the last 20 years, it's been really, really uphill. I mean, it's just climbing. More and more people are getting involved in the system. More and more people are training. And the rules are very stringent in that discipline. So looking at this, this amount of popularity, that's the reason that we wanted to promote the work of those seniors, because they basically paved the way for all of the quality sensei that are out there that teach in earnest, that are not really into, I mean, obviously, if they're running a business, it is a business. But outside of that, it is the curriculum and the integrity of the curriculum that really matters. So at the end of the day, when you're looking to sign your child up to a school or a, you know, a place to go and work out, which in our case we call a dojo, it's essential that you get the right lineage, you get the right instructor, and that, you know, we tell everybody, go to that dojo and watch classes. You know, don't just watch one or two classes. Go there, watch the classes. See how the classes are run. And that if you're satisfied with that, then okay, sign up. But if you're not, at least you're not bound to anything and that you don't have to go to that place because you signed a piece of paper. And it is essential that if you are going to sign anything, always take it home to review it. Never sign it on site. You know what I mean? So take 24 hours to review any paperwork that anybody gives you. And that if you need longer, take as long as you need, you know, before you sign anything. Looking at the lineages of people like, let's go into, you know, people like Professor V. He started a whole, you know, following of martial artists that, you know, were like the people that followed Ueshiba Sensei in the art of Aikido. And that is, you know, a pure founder. You know, Professor V was a pure founder. He produced an art that spawned other arts. So again, a very quality instructor and founder of a style. When you talk about judo, you know, we know Kano Sensei is the founder of judo. Of course, innovative, quality sensei. As I said, you know, the founder of Aikido, Ueshiba Sensei, quality sensei, quality founder. These arts spawned a tremendous amount of innovation from all the Americans now that took up these arts and mastered them and brought them both back to the States and then spread them abroad, because some Americans came home, practiced, and then moved and now have schools, you know, all over the world. So, you know, American sensei aren't just here in America. A lot of them did move, you know, not only to teach, but to build their organization, you know, to have a more central location, if you will, you know, to where they're building. And that that's another thing. When you look at arts like Sanukis Rue with Dr. Powell, you know, he put together a system of, you know, urban street fighting. And that looking at his approach, you know, learning from such a innovative sensei, that he, you know, he produced a martial art that is not only growing today, but is very effective and very real. So, again, these are the things that these people paved the way for us. When you look at weapons, when you look at empty hand training, there is an American sensei who did a great job with both, and that is O-Sensei Ronald Duncan. He trained with the people down in Jacksonville, North Carolina, such as Professor Gates, Don Nagel, all of the pioneers that came out of that dojo. There were a lot of them. Gary Alexander, Lou Lizat, my sensei, Ed McGrath. So a lot of pioneers came out of that dojo. Well, O-Sensei Ronald Duncan was one of them. And that he deserves a lot of credit as well, because he also put a wonderful American training architecture to his Way of the Wind style. And that, you know, if you're into things like that, his son Gregory and, you know, the family are still teaching and, you know, promoting the life and teachings of their father. So it is a great style, and it is something that if you are into, you should definitely look them up. That is a quality school to get instruction from. So, again, these are the things that these masters and these sensei did for us, so that we can be the conduit to all of their different teachings and all of their different means and methods, which is a great way of, you know, passing on the information from generation to generation. That's number one, to keep the system alive. But secondly, as you do that, you build teams through the years, through those generations. Now, you know, as we know, with most schools, you know, you get people to sign up, but not everybody stays to become black belts. But the ones that do, those are the loyal ones, and those are the ones that take on the responsibility of passing on the style now to the next generation, which is wonderful. That's a wonderful thing, because it does. It keeps their tradition and their means and methods alive. And those teachings, if documented properly, will never be lost. And again, that's one of the reasons why we have on DocRadio.net all of the hosts and co-hosts, you know, promoting not only Dr. Powell's Sanukis Rue, but all martial artists from all different disciplines. So, again, that's our way of paying back to the seniors and our ancestors, that, you know, in our little way, keeping their name alive and trying to promote what they did in their teachings for us, so that we can then pass those teachings on to the next generation. And with that, we get the responsibility of, you know, protecting the what we call the curriculum. And, you know, how that gets passed on from generation to generation, as long as it's documented properly, from sensei to sensei. That's the one thing that we learned from O-sensei Peter Urban back in the early days. He documented everything properly. He he was a very highly intelligent individual. The grand patriarch of all American Goju-Ryu systems, O-sensei Peter Urban, when you would go and see the way he structured his karate, it was very documented. It was very... anybody could basically pick it up and learn from it because it was very, very well written, very well documented, and all of his students have done a great job in preserving those teachings. And, you know, again, helped make martial arts very, very popular. American sensei like Peter Sarangano Sr., let me get his name, Peter Sarangano Sr., and then you had people like I want to say who is the, oh, I wish I had him here. We had Sarangano Sensei, and then Sensei Hess. Joe Hess. He was also a very influential man when it comes to American Goju-Ryu. So, he was also a. I would also try to consider him a pioneer because he was in that era. But outside of Joe Hess, you had Rico Guy. You have. All different sensei. Let me see if I can pull up some more of their names. These are the older sensei. We have some Frank Van Letten sensei. Yes. John Roseberry. Yes. I should say Roseberry. Yes. Okay. And now you have who is the other big martial arts practitioner in Jersey outside of, I mean, Nagel was a big name there, but there was also Alexander was there as well, but there was another big name in another system. I can't seem to recall his name. Let's see if I go here. He might have also been in judo. Yeah, he might have also been in judo. But anyway, my point is to try to give as much information about those masters as possible, but in 30 minutes it's tough. You know, the program's almost over already. But let's just talk about, in closing, all sensei that have received curriculum from their teachers and that go out into the world and be that conduit from their sensei to the student and are basically the protector of the curriculum. You know, that's what the show was about tonight, that those teachings were passed from generation to generation, and look at what's happened in our, you know, in our community today. So thanks for tuning in, folks. I really appreciate it. Good night, everybody.